Good afternoon. We'll call the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee to order. Sorry for the big gavel there. I'm just getting used to it. I'm going to calibrate in different rooms how hard to hit the gavel. We have two items on our agenda today, the Employment Department and OLCC. So I'll open a work session, a little better maybe, for the Employment Department. Michelle.
Co-Chair Reed and members of the subcommittee, this is a request by the Employment Department for additional federal funds expenditure limitation and other funds adjustments to accommodate changes since the end of the 2011 regular session. It involves an extension passed by Congress for emergency unemployment compensation. It involves an extension of Trade Act expansion. It involves participation in something called the Treasury Offset Program. There's a request to utilize federal funds in place of other funds, and also some changes in the caseload for the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lori Warner, the director for the Employment Department. Michelle summarized why we're here. There have been a number of changes. Some of these we discussed as possibilities when we were here during the session, and they have materialized. So we're asking for $14.7 million in additional federal fund limitation and $2.5 million of other fund limitation and 11 limited duration positions. So there's five types of changes here, so I'm just going to walk through these briefly, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions. So first and foremost, the unemployment insurance program extensions, we need about $3.6 million in federal fund limitation. If you recall, two federal programs, emergency unemployment insurance and extended benefits, were slated to end December of 2011, and Congress passed legislation extending both of those programs, but only through February 29th of 2012. So we did not have limitation in administrative funds in the budget for these 2 months that we've been processing claims. You're probably aware that Congress is currently debating whether or not they're going to extend these programs any further beyond the end of February, and that outcome is really uncertain at this time. So the request asks for the limitation and position authority through the end of February for both EUC and EB, the two programs, but only for emergency unemployment compensation through the end of 2012. We anticipate that will pass, but we don't know for sure, so that's something I think you'll need to discuss. The eligibility for the extended benefit program, that's the final 20 weeks of benefits under the federal programs, that's dependent on your unemployment rate continuing to climb over the last 3-year period. And Oregon's unemployment rate, although not dropping significantly, it has dropped enough that we do not believe we'll be eligible for this program any longer after the end of February. So whether they extend it or not to the other states who would still be eligible will not probably make a difference for Oregon. So the next piece of business we have is the Treasury Offset Program, and we did talk about this with you during the session. The federal government has made it possible for states to offset overpayments of unemployment insurance benefits against federal tax returns. But you have to, one, get the funding from them to begin the process of changing your IT systems to allow that. And Oregon was able to do that, so we have the funding from them to do that work. We'd like to get started now in anticipation of being able to do some offset for the 2013 tax season a year from now. New York and Wisconsin are the two states that have already implemented this fully, so, and they have had good results in terms of the offsets from the federal tax returns. So Oregon would be an early adopter, but we think that would be a good place to be, so we're asking you for the limitation to do that. We would expect we would be able to offset, collect back for our trust fund $3 to $4 million annually off of the tax returns if we were able to offset the federal tax. The next item is the Trade Act program, and if you remember during the session, this program, they were debating also whether they were going to extend it or not, and they let it run on a continuing resolution, but in December, they did go ahead and reauthorize it so for a 24-month period. This is the program that helps people that are displaced because of jobs lost to foreign trade. And since the session, this would allow us to have about 300 more Oregonians per quarter apply for and receive benefits under Trade Act, so they can use this funding to go back to school to retrain for up to 156 weeks of training. So you can actually get a two-year or four-year degree under this program, which is about the only program around that allows that to occur, and it includes the tuition costs as well as it allows you to draw your UI benefits while you're in training. In 2010, Oregon had about 3,400 folks.
May I interrupt just a moment? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Senator Johnson.
Senator Johnson.
Are there any kind of stipulations about what the sideboards on the training would be? And let me just tell you why I'm thinking about this. Once upon a time, there was a program that allowed people to be retrained, and my husband and I were in the helicopter training business, and you'd have 60-year-old people showing up wanting to be trained as helicopter pilots. There was no possibility that they were ever going to get a job. So, I mean, their eyesight, their reflexes, it just wasn't going to happen. I'm trying to figure out, what are the sideboards? Do I have to go back and get a job that has some marketability, or could I get a degree with some marketability, or could I get a degree in Sanskrit?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the requirements, there are requirements around this in terms of what training you go into, and you have to be able to show a demand for that job in order to go into training and be able to demonstrate that you can complete training in a reasonable period of time. So that is a case-by-case discussion with the individual. It's also a discussion about which is the least cost way for you to get that kind of training. Going to a community college, going to, you know, a trade school, you know, how are we going to go about doing that? So there's a one-on-one conversation with each one of these folks once the business is certified as impacted by trade. So. We need $1.2 million in federal fund limitation for that, and three limited duration positions for the rest of the biennium. The next item is the Office of Administrative Hearings. This request is for $2.5 million in other funds, $427,000 of federal funds, and eight limited duration positions. So both, we're talking about the unemployment insurance program continues to have heavy workload in terms of claims processing. We still have higher unemployment than we anticipated. And so the number and cost of the hearings for Office of Administrative Hearings from unemployment insurance is higher. They also have increases in hearings from, remember, they do hearings for all kinds of other state agencies, too. So their Department of Education cases are higher, as is their Portland Fire and Police disability cases. So this is a request for them for this limitation in positions. And then,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Apropos some conversations that we've been having in this building about the Employment Relations Board and how long it takes them to turn out cases, how are your hearings officers doing in terms of timeliness of case resolution? Are there backlogs now? How fast are you disposing of cases?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, there are federal performance standards around the UI cases, and I believe they have 20 days to issue on these through Office of Administrative Hearing, but I'd have to get you the detail on those. We're asking for the positions because we don't want to have huge backlogs here in order to keep processing and adjudicating these moving forward. Without that, you know, you're going to have longer wait times for hearings processes. But I'd be happy to get you the detail on each of these.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Briefly, please.
The point that I was trying to make was that there are benchmarks. How difficult do you think it's going to be to hire limited duration to fill these slots?
Mr. Chair, member Senator Johnson, we have not had difficulty filling these positions.
Cool. Thank you.
So far.
Ms. Warner, we have a number of other questions. I want to make sure that we're not interrupting you all the way through, though.
I just have one last item.
So let's do that, and then we'll get to questions. Thank you.
So the last item on here is the UI administrative funds. So because we're processing more claims and there was the extension on UI benefits, we earn more federal administrative funds to pay our staff with. And so we have a request to spend $9 million in federal funds instead of spending other funds to do this work because we have those resources available. So that's the only other item on this list.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Verger, you wanted to ask
Yes. I probably need a little help with my conscience, if you can help me with this.
Okay.
This overpayment in the offset.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a person that's getting unemployment benefits. They're so glad to see the money come in the mail. So they cash the check, they spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
You send another overpayment, and you do that for a while, and all of a sudden you say, whoops, somebody here made a mistake, and you weren't supposed to get all that money, and so I'm going to grab your tax refund. That you've got it both ways. You know, you can make the mistake, and you can still demand the money back. So help me justify that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, we currently offset right now against state tax returns. The legislature approved that some time ago. This is the federal portion just coming around the IRS being willing to do that. You are right. I mean, that we have to, though, under this program for the federal offset, we have to have exhausted trying to collect from folks in other ways first, and to notice them that this is what's going to happen. So that may help you a little. I mean, if we made an error and they shouldn't have received benefits, we still go back and collect. And there's a number of those instances, especially because of the fact that we had multiple extensions and types of benefits available over the last 3 years. So I don't have it's an individual case by case, and yes, folks are not happy when you offset against their tax returns. But we have at that point exhausted the other methods for collecting, and they are delinquent and have not paid back the fund. So these funds also go directly back in to our UI trust fund here in Oregon, so it helps our businesses in terms of the solvency of the trust fund and their tax rates.
Are you seeing an improvement in the number of times that has to happen?
Mr. Chair, actually, because of the volume of claims that have been processed over the last 3 years and the complexity of the various types of starting and stopping of federal benefits, there's actually an increase in the number of overpayments. Are a national issue. Every state has had this situation because of the fact that there was new staff also hired to process claims, and so there's more errors. So Senator Verger is correct. I mean, there's more of this that we have to deal with and more constituent issues on a regular basis.
Thank you. Other questions? Okay. Could you talk a bit more about the way that the federal funds versus other funds interact? Everybody else may already know that. That was new to me.
Mr. Chair. So with the unemployment insurance program, as you process claims, you are reimbursed by the federal government for administrative costs, and if it's federal benefits you're paying, you also get the federal money for the claims to be paid. So when we get more resources in like that, we pay our staffs with the federal funds first, as we prefer to. The other funds that are being used to support this work are coming out of what we call READ Act distribution money, and that is federal money that's come to the state as one-time money to, you can either pay claims with it, or you may upgrade your systems, your claims processing systems and processes with it, and it sits in the UI trust fund as other funds to the state. So if we use that money, that's one-time money that's not going to be replaced by them, and it does serve as a cushion for the state in terms of when things go up and down, you have a little bit of funding there to manage workload and not have to be in a situation where you don't have enough staff to process claims as the federal money kind of picks up and comes back to you.
In this case, then, you'd leave the other funds in place to manage some of that transition?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, there would be a yes, we wouldn't be spending that REDOC on other, we're not proposing to spend it. It would just stay in the trust fund.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay, would you like a motion?
I think we're ready, Senator Berger.
All right. I would move that we don't have an LFO recommendation.
Okay. Well, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending an increase in federal funds expenditure limitation of $12,345,199. And basically, the difference between that and the agency's request, the agency's request letter included expenditure limitation for the Information Technology Support Center grant, which was approved, which was recommended for approval in January. So since that recommendation is already made, I adjusted that portion of the request and took that out of there. So that's one difference.
So functionally, that the total amount is still going to be the same. It's just that we've done that portion already.
Exactly. Okay. And then the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation on federal funds also is for the two-month extension already approved by Congress for UI only, not the prospective 10 months at this juncture. So that explains the difference between the LFO recommendation and the agency's request for the federal funds. Now, with regard to the other funds expenditure limitation, we are recommending a decrease overall of $6,528,203 because of that offset that was just being discussed between federal funds and other funds. As was discussed, they're not planning to spend the REDAC dollars, but the expenditure limitation still exists in the legislatively adopted budget. So that was the reason for that particular change as well.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the LFO recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Berger has moved that the subcommittee adopt the LFO recommendation and recommend the full Ways and Means Committee an adjustment in expenditure limitation for $12,345,199. Is there a discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection? I don't see any. The motion is adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the work session with the Employment Department. Open work session with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. You as well?
Excellent. It is indeed. This
Thank
is
you.
The Michelle Show today. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, the OLCC is here today to present its second quarterly report with regard to liquor sales expenses and expenditure limitation that they anticipate to need for credit card fees and to maintain agents' compensation at the average rate of 8.88% of sales. Hopefully the format will look similar to what they presented back in, I believe it was November.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Steve Fowler, Director of the Liquor Commission. And we're pleased to come here today to talk about how sales are doing better than what we had expected.
Oh, it's a good thing with which to start.
So bad, I think I'll take a drink.
Okay.
That's the wrong one. It's the wrong one.
And if I may, I did include copies of their presentation in the SharePoint. In your files.
On the first page behind the opening document there, essentially the original forecast for the biennium was about $920 million. And with that $920 million, we would have expected a certain amount coming back to the state at that point. However, sales continue to accelerate from what we had anticipated. Originally, we had anticipated 3.2% average growth, And actually, in December and January, we exceeded 5% in growth. So I guess what I would say is that where we had been wondering whether it would hold up, in fact, the sales growth is not just holding up, it is firming up in terms of the upward momentum. And that would result at this point with a $38 million higher amount of sales, which would result in around $15 million for the state in net increase, and about, I think it was $8.4 million for the general fund. So the news is very good. Okay, so it's not showing up anyplace. Okay, if you've got the documents on the OLCC update for February 2012, you can see the general trend lines. The current trend certainly is exceeding where we had anticipated. Nothing new there. Store operating expenses, you can see that we would have a shortfall. We would anticipate coming back this summer and asking for additional monies to the fact that we are exceeding our, would need to exceed our limitation at that point for agents comp because sales have gone up at that accelerated rate.
Well, you're doing the technical fix, of course.
Justin, please.
What do you attribute that to?
I think, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I think there's a number of things that are happening in the marketplace. One, there is a, seems like there's a renewal in terms of restaurant sales that is beginning slowly to move up. We have seen that marketing has continued to be relatively aggressive by the industry itself, making sure that the products that are out there are well received. And the overall purchase is continuing to go upscale, where we had seen a movement down to perhaps some less expensive items. We are now seeing a movement back up into the more expensive items again. So it's a really good trend. In fact, I've seen some national information that says some of the companies anticipate sales coming in the next year equivalent. That's equivalent or even better than before the recession. So the details and information with regards to where the market's going to go is looking very good.
Thank you.
And just to follow up on that before we leave the topic, is there any other changes in the makeup of the sales? Is there Oregon products doing better or worse or any other sort of unusual changes?
Mr. Chair, very good question there. Oregon products are, in fact, doing very well. We continue to see an acceleration in the number of micro distilleries or craft distilleries that are taking place within the state. And we are now up in the mid-40s, I believe, for the number of craft distilleries that exist within the state. And one of the interesting things in the marketplace is that where there's still large brand names that are recognized, there is still a growing movement in terms of some of the more handmade or craft-type items. And their prices are not inexpensive. So when they sell, the money that is made is very good. So that acceleration in the craft distillery is helping. And frankly, the marketplace has grown much more savvy in terms of recognizing the quality products that are coming out, and they're willing to pay for those quality products.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Okay, so the next page. You know, all the charts say the right thing. The line's going up, so that's what you can take a look at. We also have a need for increase in bank fees. There's a growing number of folks that are using credit cards. And, of course, that would be expected because, you know, if you're out there buying a $10 bottle of vodka, you may have that kind of cash. But if you're going to buy a $100 bottle of scotch, most people are not carrying that kind of money. So as the marketplace continues to improve, you see a continued need for credit card usage. And that credit card usage is going up, and, of course, we'll need to backfill those funds. So to summarize, it's good news in terms of revenue production. We're looking at a $15 million net return over what we had originally given you. And frankly, if the sales keep on accelerating the way they are, we will exceed that $15 million. And that's about all I have for you. It's pretty straightforward stuff.
Thank you. Other questions? None at all. I could talk about it for a long time, but I won't make the rest of the subcommittee do it. Michelle.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee acknowledge the receipt of the report.
Thank you. Co-Chair Verger has moved that the subcommittee acknowledge receipt of the OLCC's report. Is there any discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection? I don't see any. Motion carries. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here. And I'm reminded that we need carriers for both of these items to the full committee. Is there anyone who'd like to take that task on?
I'll do the liquor.
Representative McLean will carry the OLCC report. Thank you, Representative McLean. That leaves us with the Employment Department.
I'll take it.
Treasurer Virgil will take it. Thank you very much, Senator. So close the work session on the OLCC, and unless there's anything else to come before the subcommittee for the new order, I'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.